Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios here in Nashville. We say hello to Jared Stillman, who is live in Minnesota, getting ready for day number two of joint practices between the Titans and the Vikings. And Jared, you were there witnessing it all live yesterday when Treylon Burks went down. I know you were watching the defense, but what was kind of the mood when that all happened? And now we know it's an LCL sprain and nothing more serious.
Well, the mood was the defense was smoking the Vikings. I mean, I'm about to go ask Kirk Cousins in about 30 minutes how good he thinks the Titans defense is. And the mood of excited that the Titans might have an elite defense absolutely went right down to the bottom, that they may be without Treylon Burks. And again, you know, to your point, I was sitting there live, but I couldn't see live whether or not he sprained his LCL or MCL or PCL or ACL. Or obviously there was no way for me to tell, you know, what it was, really for anybody to tell what it was. Even the Twitter doctors, nobody said LCL. Now, they said they didn't think it was an ACL, but they didn't say, you know, LCL. So not even the Twitter doctors knew. And I think it was a giant dark cloud over what was, from the defensive perspective, a really positive practice. They picked off Kirk Cousins in 7-on-7. They picked off Kirk Cousins immediately in the 2-minute drill. So I thought it was a great day for the defense. Malik Willis apparently had a good day. TD saw that. I didn't. But, yeah, talk about putting a damper on what was a very positive day up until that point.
So is your plan today to watch more of the offense?
I will watch the offense today. Against the Vikings defense. I mean, what's crazy is I'm not even sure I need to watch the defense. Like, as long as nobody gets hurt, knock on wood, I don't even think I need to watch the defense. I feel like I saw enough. I think the Vikings have a pretty good offense. Now, TJ Hockenson was out, and so was Jordan Addison, who's in concussion protocol. But, I mean, I've seen the Titans defense every day at training camp dominate the Titans offense. I came out here and I said, all right, let's see if this is the Titans defense is good or the Vikings off or the Titans offense is bad. And the Titans defense did pretty much the same thing to Cousins in Minnesota yesterday that they had been doing to the Titans in training camp. And I think the Vikings have a pretty good offense. And so I thought that that was a very good sign, you know, for the defense. So it's almost like, okay, now I know the Titans have a good defense. We'll see you in New Orleans, because they're not going to play in any of the preseason games. And I guess I'll watch them next week against the Patriots, and that'll be another test for them. But I think I consider the Vikings offense with Justin Jefferson to be better than the Patriots offense. But, I mean, it's like just seeing what I saw yesterday, that's enough for me on to the offense, which now, I mean, there's going to be big question marks as to what they're going to do at that outside receiver spot. With Treylon Burks out, and we don't know how long Treylon Burks will be out for, but it would not surprise me if he's not able to go in that New Orleans game. And so I think that we'll see Nick Westbrook-Ikhina outside with the ones today. I think we'll see Chris Moore outside with the ones today, and maybe even one of these young guys that's flashed a little bit in camp. Maybe they'll get an opportunity as well. So I do wonder what they're going to do opposite DeAndre Hopkins, and that'll be something that I'll be watching today.
Jared Stillman is with us live from Minnesota. And, yeah, speaking of the receivers, I mean, right now I don't have Racy McMath making this team because I think Roberson's been better than him. I think Kyrus Jackson's been better than him. And so even though I don't know if any of these guys can, you know, become even serviceable in the National Football League, it's certainly they have some options ahead of them right now, which I think is a good thing.
So here's where the Burks injury complicates things. Because McMath's key to making the team was going to be on special teams as a gunner. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has been a gunner for this team in the past, and by him moving to the fourth receiver spot, that would open him up to go back to the special teams work that he did in 2020 and 2021. So I really thought that that ended any chance that McMath had really of making the team, because I don't see him making the team as a pass catcher. To your point, I think there's a group of four or five guys that are probably ahead of him. Whether it's Treshawn Harrison, Reggie Roberson, Kyrus Jackson, who you brought up. I mean, I think there's guys that have significantly shown themselves in camp in the preseason game more so than McMath. But because of the injury to Burks, if they go into that New Orleans game and Westbrook-Ikhina is starting at receiver, does that take him away from the special teams duty and then force them to keep another receiver in McMath to be the gunner on special teams? Now, what I thought the Titans were going to do is I thought the Titans were going to carry five receivers on the active roster to begin the season and use the sixth spot on the third quarterback. Because remember, they're going to carry all three quarterbacks, yeah. And so that has to be one of these spots. And I figured that they would take the sixth receiver spot and they would use it on that, because even though they may not be able to get all of those guys to the practice squad, they'll probably be able to get three of the four to the practice squad. So if there's not that much of a difference between Roberson and McMath or Jackson and Harrison or Dowell and these other guys that are at the bottom of the roster, then who cares if somebody claims one of them? Because then you'll just call up the other one off the practice squad, and that's what I thought the Titans were going to do. So maybe this injury to Burks complicates things, and the Titans will carry six receivers just so they don't get caught with no receivers on special teams against the Saints. I still don't think that that's going to do that much for McMath, because Burks will still have to be on the opening roster, even if he's not going to play in the Saints game. And they're still going to carry three quarterbacks, and they can still elevate somebody off the practice squad ahead of the Saints game.
You're about to talk to Kirk Cousins in his media availability. Do you feel like if there was any comparison between Tannehill and another quarterback, that Kirk Cousins fits that mold perfectly?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that generally speaking, they've been in the league for the exact same time. They were both drafted in 2012. They're both, 6 foot four-ish. They're white, and they start at quarterback. And other than that, I'm not sure that there's really a lot of comparison, other than the fact that they're both not elite, but they're better than the non-starter, and they both make a lot of money. I think the difference between the two is Cousins can go out there and throw for 450 yards in a game. Cousins is a volume stat guy, and he was even that way in Washington. Pre-Justin Jefferson, pre-Adam Thielen, pre-Stephon Diggs, pre-Jordan Addison, he was that kind of guy in Washington. And so Tannehill has never been. I know that for like a year or two in Miami, he was a 300-yard passer. But for the most part, Tannehill is a 220-yard passer a game. I think that Cousins probably aligns more with Derek Carr. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head a good comparison for Tannehill. I just don't see them as the same kind of quarterback. I do think that they, have the same value, in my opinion, which is they're a lot better than some of these guys in the league that are starting on some of these bad teams. They're never going to be as good as Joe Burrow. And I feel like they sit in the same spot, but I don't think that Tannehill is the volume stat guy that Cousins is. That being said, I think Tannehill wins more games. So if Kirk Cousins, for instance, were to throw the ball for 220 yards and try to throw it 19 times, instead of trying to throw the ball, 45 times and throwing for 350, I do think maybe the Vikings might win a little more. But the big difference there, Cousins has better stats, Tannehill wins more games.
So would you say that, if game's on the line and you got to trust one of them, you would trust Tannehill more?
I mean, quite frankly, I don't watch a lot of Cousins, but I think I'd trust him more than I would trust Tannehill, just because I've seen Tannehill fail too many times. Now, early on, when Tannehill had wide receivers and Tannehill had an offensive coordinator, Tannehill was as good as any quarterback I felt in the league at the end of those two-minute situations or game on the line. Whether it was that first year in 2019 and he led them back against the Chiefs, whether it was the 2020 season, they start off the year and Tannehill brings them back down the field and they beat the Broncos, and Tannehill brings them back down the field here in Minnesota and Gostkowski hits a 50-yarder to win the game. Tannehill was really good with the game in his hands. Then he had that drive against the Ravens where he throws the interception and the Ravens dance on the logo. And ever since then, I haven't felt like Tannehill is the bring me back at the end of the game guy. That being said, Arthur Smith hasn't been his coordinator, and A.J. Brown's been off the field a little bit over that time period, but not a lot over that time period. And, of course, there was the whole debacle with the Cincinnati game. And so because Cousins hasn't had that, I think I would take Cousins over Tannehill in that spot. But I do, to your point, think that it's probably similar. I don't think either guy is Brady, and I don't think either guy is Kyler Murray.
Jared Stillman is with us. Do you think we're going to get the kicker question answered this week, or is it still going to be ongoing?
I mean, I think we already have the kicker question answered for us, and it's going to be neither guy. I mean, these guys suck. And yesterday, Shudak missed TD said it was a 53-yarder in the two-minute drill. And, guys, 53 yards is a makeable kick in 2023 in the NFL. You know, I know Craig Aukerman got up there and he said during the offseason that they really only care about 40 to 49 and anything over 50 is a bonus, which is ridiculous. But, I mean, we got to get out of this habit with mini leg Randy Bullock out there thinking, oh, man, anything over 45 is a massive risk. 52 yards is a makeable. In today's NFL, I expect you to make a 52-yarder. You should be able to make that. And the good teams have kickers who do make 52-yarders, like Evan McPherson in Cincinnati and Harrison Butker in Kansas City and Tyler Bass in Buffalo and Justin Tucker in Baltimore. Those guys can make a 52-yarder. Do they make every kick? No. But both of these guys are terrible. And the only reason why I don't think the Titans have gone out looking for a kicker yet is because they have to get through these practices. And so they'll let them kick. But then once the preseason's over, they'll claim somebody like they did a couple years ago when they started with Michael Bagley and then switched to Randy Bullock in week two. That's what they'll do this year. I'm tired of the carousel too. I get it. But it's not going to be one of these two Scarbinis out there kicking against New Orleans.
I'd look at Robbie Gould. He's still out there.
Well, I mean, the Titans aren't in the habit of paying money to veteran players, but the Rand Carthon connection might mean something. But I'm just going to tell you, my guess would be that there's like an undrafted free agent that's kicking somewhere that doesn't make a lot of money, that might not win a job. And if that guy doesn't win a job because a veteran guy beats him out or something like that, the Titans will sign that guy. Maybe it's Robbie Gould. Maybe it's not, but I do not think either of these two guys will be kicking for the Titans in New Orleans.
Well,
so to answer your question, you said, will we get the kicker questioning? I think it's already answered. It's neither of these two. None of the above.
Okay. I'll take that answer because I agree with you. He's Jared Stillman live today from Minnesota. Jared, appreciate it. Enjoy practice.
Full breakdown today, 2 o'clock. And, of course, I'll be watching the Titans offense without Treylon Burks. And we'll see you all then.
Awesome. 2 o'clock, Jared Stillman, Stillman & Company, live today from Minnesota as day number two of joint practices will get underway here in just a little bit. He's going to go hear from Kirk Cousins. And I'm going to ask you all the same question that I just asked Jared. Who would you trust more, Tannehill or Cousins? Game on the line. He gave his answer that he's seen Tannehill fail too many times. What do you think? 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063, The Game, live today from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Appreciate Jared for chiming in from Minnesota. He's going to go hear from Kirk Cousins, and then practice will get underway here in just a little bit. Mike Vrabel after practice, so we'll have that. He'll have full reaction to everything he saw today at 2 o'clock, but Willie and Caroline will, of course, keep you updated throughout the day during their show. So asking the question, and some of you have already weighed in, would love to hear from you, 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Game on the line, who do you trust more, Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins? Jared basically said he's seen it with Tannehill. He's seen him fail. And so he would lean Cousins. But again, I mean, I've seen Kirk Cousins fail too. So I kind of think that for me, it's a really tough decision. For me, I'd go Tannehill. I've never been a huge Kirk Cousins fan, and I'll admit that. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but as a quarterback, I've never felt like he was that guy that could win you the big one. Now, at the same time, I don't necessarily think Tannehill is that guy either. I think that you have to be perfect around him. I mean, I go back to what Mike Vrabel said a few years ago of we have to be great around him. Well, it certainly doesn't help that the offensive line still has questions. It certainly doesn't help that Treylon Burks is hurt. And so that is, you know, the big question mark. But some of your texts that you have weighed in. Unnamed texter says, diehard Titans fan here. I'd take Cousins in a game-winning drive over Tannehill. Cousins is a 7.5 out of 10, and Tannehill is a 7 out of 10. So you think it's that close?
I wouldn't say 0.5 close. I mean, it's a little bit more, like, bigger in difference. I'd say more like a 6.5 to a 8.5.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kirk Cousins is one of the more polarizing quarterbacks in the league, because you have the group kind of like me that thinks he sucks and is, I mean, not sucks, but just isn't all that great. Like, wouldn't trust him, wouldn't put him on your fantasy team, those things. And then you have the group that, while they don't think he's elite, but they think he's pretty darn good. I mean, I guess he does win, but that's why I kind of use the comparison with Tannehill, because I feel like they both win in the regular season. But when it really counts, you can't count on him. Josh from White House says, I trust a random white van in my neighborhood more than I do Tannehill in a must-have situation. Josh from White House. That's pretty good. Ron says, I disagree with Jared. I believe Cousins has had better wide receivers in his NFL career than Tannehill. That's why he doesn't have many 4,000-yard years. Well, and Ron, to that point, he's also played with Derrick Henry for a big chunk of his career. And so it's been a run-heavy offense. I agree. I mean, I think, obviously, Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the game. He had Adam Thielen as well. He had Stephon Diggs for a little bit, too. So, I mean, he certainly had some pretty good receivers, whereas, Tannehill had A.J. Brown. And, I mean, that one year with A.J. Brown and Corey Davis was pretty good, but it hasn't quite blossomed into what you would like to see it blossom into with the receivers that he has. But, for me, I lean Tannehill, but I think there's certainly an argument on it. And, the big thing is going to be this offense this year and how Tannehill can run Tim Kelly's offense and use the weapons that he has. This was Mike Vrabel a few weeks ago discussing Ryan Tannehill and how he's picked up. Actually, this was earlier this week, and Ryan Tannehill and how he's picked up the new offense.
Chris Moore said Ryan's so good at helping teach the new concepts of the offense, it feels like he almost helped design it. What's it say about a quarterback to be able to pick it up so quickly and to kind of have that level?
Well, I think that's the leadership. That's what you have to have from your quarterback. They're the ones that have to act as an extension of the coach on the field. They're the ones that hear the play call. They're the ones that have to know where everybody's supposed to line up. They're the ones that make the adjustments, the checks. So that's critical. Once we send them out there on the field, it's up to the players to figure it out. So and to fix problems and work through it and then come back in the huddle a short amount of time and do it all over again and recognize what the situation is.
That was Mike Vrabel on Tannehill grasping the offense. I mean, it's funny that we're having this conversation. I'm sitting here watching Get Up on ESPN, and it says, is Brock Purdy's slow start in camp a bad start or a bad sign? He's thrown reportedly 10 interceptions in training camp. I mean,
10?
10. So is it the elbow? Like, what is it? Is there a reason he was Mr. Irrelevant? I mean, I wondered about that. Like, when they decided, like, hey, we're going to go all in on Purdy, and apparently Lance hadn't been very good either, but we're going to go all in on Purdy, I'm like, you're basing the future of your franchise on a handful of games?
And this is his first week back, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay. If it is, and he's thrown 10 interceptions, this is the biggest overreaction I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I think you got to give this guy some time. I mean, yes, it was an elbow injury, but come on. What are you going to have, Christian McCaffrey back there behind the center? Come on now. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. And I mean, look, the guy was the last pick in the draft. There's a reason. Like, the 49ers passed on him six times or however many picks they had before they took him. So, I mean, let's slow our roll a little bit and see what it looks like. Either way.
About Trey Lance, I watched the 49ers preseason game against Las Vegas, and yeah, he did not look good. His read progressions were not great. He scrambled out of the pocket too much. I mean, offensive line didn't help him any more than what they really had, but still, he wasn't really. Yeah, the stats may say different, but if you watch the game, it was not good at all.
Texter on the text line says, Tannehill has underwhelmed with all the 8-9-man boxes that Henry has given him. He can't elevate receivers, and he is virtually useless in the playoffs. Gimme Cousins, period. Pretty defined statement there.
That is. There's a poll on our Twitter at 102.5 The Game. It is neck and neck. Right now it's 50-50.
Oh, okay. I figured it would be. I mean,
there's
I figured it would be a close
amount of voters.
Sure. We'll check that out at 1025 the game on Twitter. And it is, yeah, as he just said, it's moved. Tannehill's at 56.3, Cousins at 43.8, but still very early. So I've retweeted that out or reposted. I gotta get used to this.
Re-exed.
Re-exed, whatever it is. But yeah, go vote. Check that out on our Twitter page. We'll continue to take your reaction to this. Who would you trust more? Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, game on the line. You need a big drive. Who would you take? We'll discuss more of that. Plus, Treylon Burks and what this means. You heard Jared earlier about the wrench that it's thrown into things when it comes to the roster. We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Brian, apologize if you didn't ask that. Brian Flores' defense unique in the way they disguise things?
I want to say it's unique, but it's definitely a style that you don't see a whole lot. You know, there's a couple teams, you know, throughout the league, a couple coordinators who will play this style of ball. It's definitely something you don't see on a weekly basis, and that's what's nice when you're game planning. You have a little more time and space to game plan and get ready for it. But like I said, good looks for us. We'll be able to take a look at this tape, learn from it, and come out ready to go tomorrow.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday after practice going up against a Brian Flores defense. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Nick Frazier with us as well. And, you know, that's one of my big takeaways from a joint practice is, you know, getting to see another defense. And Brian Flores, I think, is a really, really good defensive coach in the National Football League. I actually thought he was a decent head coach and kind of got a raw deal in Miami. But so now with the Vikings as their defensive coordinator, and, you know, as Tannehill said there, there's, you know, things they can learn from. They can look at the film and help make that offense better. But, you know, now without Burks for a while, you know, Jared, when he was on with us earlier, brought it up that, okay, who's going to be with the ones? Are they going to put Westbrook Akina out there with the, you know, on the other side with DeAndre Hopkins? And, you know, obviously now you want to make sure that D-Hop's okay and he doesn't get hurt. Now that Burks is going to be out for a few weeks with a sprained LCL. But I am definitely curious of what this looks like with the receivers and how they're going to be lining up when it comes to practice and then, you know, maybe week one against the New Orleans Saints. So certainly an interesting thing. More texts coming through on the Ryan Tannehill question. Who would you trust more, Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins? Unnamed texter really bringing it. This market doesn't deserve Tannehill. Most underrated and underappreciated in the league. Wow. I mean, that's pretty good. Pretty good thing saying that there. And, you know, it even goes on to say, can't wait for Levis to put us in quarterback purgatory. I don't know if I'm going to go that far. I mean, I don't think we have a really good answer on what he is yet. Another texter, I'm not a big fan of Tannehill, but Cousins isn't going to do any better with our wide receiver core than Tannehill has been. Maybe Cousins is the missing piece to NWI Kinsey having those breakout seasons. I'm not going to go that far. I mean,
no comment.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. I don't think Mason Kinsey even makes the team. So I wouldn't go that far at all. But, you know, now that Treylon Burks is out for a little bit, what does that mean? Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road weighed in on the Burks injury.
Well, it was scary. I mean, I saw the video and, you know, it looked like there was a hyperextension. And the first thought I had was just sort of the way, having been on the field and seen meniscus tears before, that's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, no, hyperextension. He tore the meniscus. Like, how bad is this going to be? So an LCL sprain is not great, you know, but it's more manageable. It depends on the grade of the sprain. So is it a couple weeks? Is it 6 weeks? How conservative do you want to be with him coming back with it? It stinks to me because you know, that's a player that I think was ready to take a huge step forward this year. I talked to, prior to even visiting, talked to people in the building, and they were really happy with just him being a part of the program and not having, you know, last year he missed so much time kind of coming into the season, and it was such a tough start. And then he took that rough hit during the season, the end zone, and it just was a lot to kind of get him together.
That was Charles Robinson earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. The texter that that said NWI and Kinsey having those breakout seasons was being sarcastic. It's hard to tell on text. I'm sorry. I figured that, but I'm sorry. So, but yeah, that I mean, Treylon Burks, again, it's best case scenario, because all day yesterday I was sitting there thinking, well, he tore something in the knees, out for the year, and now it's being reported that it's an LCL sprain. And depending on the severity of the sprain, it'll only be a few weeks. So that is certainly what the best that Titans fans could hope for. Ron says on the Tannehill and Cousins question, my question is, do they both have a great offensive line and good receivers? If so, give me Cousins. If the offensive line sucks, give me Tannehill, because he's used to having a sucky O-line, plus he's a better scrambler and throwing on the run. That's a fair question. I mean, what kind of offensive line are you looking at? I mean, I guess I could phrase it that, you know, you have a good offensive line and good receivers, or the receivers that they have. I mean, you could make the argument that, you know, Jefferson's the best. We obviously agree with that, but then that's pretty much what they have. And then here, you know, you got Hopkins, that even though he's older and he's not the same D-Hop, I think he's going to have a bit of a resurgence. And then, hopefully, a Burks that's trending in the right direction.
Don't forget about Jordan Addison.
Yeah, well, I know they brought in Jordan. That's true. Yeah. They did draft Jordan Addison. So, depending on what he can be, I mean, is he going to be? Are they going to have a true 1-2 punch?
And that might be the case. I mean, everybody's spoken really highly about Jordan Addison. He looked looked good against Seattle the other night when he had their preseason game. So that could be their 1-2 punch for the season, and it might overmask their running back problems in Minnesota.
Coy in Clarksville says, how are Titans fans okay with mediocrity? RT17 has to go. Can we – TB12 is the only one that needs to do that. Can we stop with the whole, you know, initial and number thing?
It doesn't work. It only works when you're in, like, peewee football and you have to initial your pads and helmets. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, like, are we AR-8 now? I mean, is that a gun?
What's your favorite number, Chase?
3.
CM3? Are we going to do that?
CM3. That's good. 3 was kind to me on the roulette table, but
there you go.
So was 6. Yeah, no, let's get rid of the RT17. But Coy, I understand. Another texter says Cousins can't scramble like Tannehill can. Ryan can at least move around and scramble for a touchdown. I think that's an underrated part of Ryan Tannehill's game, is the athleticism and how he can move. You know, if the pocket breaks down, which it does on occasion, you know, he's good at doing the sidesteps and all those things with the pocket, but he can, you know, in making a play, but he can certainly, like, design runs. They have all those that they'll put in. And so that's certainly a big part, you know, to his game, which I think is big. But, you know, now what's, you know, early in the year, if they don't have Burks, I mean, my guess is you're going to see more of those design plays. I think you're going to see more of two back sets using Henry and using Spears. You know, and at times one of them can be the decoy. I would say in, you know, I know he's not the best pass catching running back, but Derrick Henry had his best year receiving last year. I mean, who's to say you don't set up some plays, especially later in the year, where they're both back there and the defense thinks you're going to Spears, but you're really going to Henry. You know, and you know, using Spears as more of the decoy. I mean, there's Tim Kelly's a smart guy when it comes to trickery like that. I mean, you know, Todd Downing tried to work it in and it just went, none of it was good. But, you know, I think you could see some creativity if, again, everybody stays healthy and this offensive line can do something.
If you get Derrick Henry in open space catching the ball,
yeah,
give him about 7 to 8 yards to hit his stride, and then the top speed's going to hit, and then it's curtains.
Yeah. No, I agree. So they certainly have that. So I'm curious too, when just kind of looking at practice as a whole today, how the offense responds, knowing that Burks probably isn't going to miss the season now. They had a bad day yesterday anyway. So how do they respond, and can the defense back it up 2 days in a row? Because whenever I hear that, you know, one side of the ball or one group in particular had a really, really good day, I'm like, great. That's positive. I want to see them do the same thing again. You know, because if they can put it together back to back, then I'm going to sit here and I'm going to go, okay, now we got something.
If I'm watching today, which I won't be, I'm here in Nashville, but if there are three people in mind that you got to look out for, is Kyle Phillips, mm-hmm. Colton Dowell, mm-hmm. and Chigakonkwo. Those three need to ramp it up today, because those are where the big eyeballs need to be looking at. Because without Treylon Burks in the fold, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins needs to be ramping it up at all. Just take your pace as it goes. But those three, they're young. They need to be looked at more, and it just has to be put that way.
I'll give you another one. I mean, NWI. I want to see NWI. I mean, he might be number two right now. So let's see him. Because, you know, Phillips is going to be in the slot. That's where I think he'll be. So NWI 15 needs to step up. That's the bottom line. I need to see more from him. Looking at our poll question that Nick has put up at 1025 The Game on Twitter, with the game on the line, who do you trust more, Ryan Tannehill or Kirk Cousins? 52.9% say Tannehill, 47.1% say Kirk Cousins. Still very early in the vote, so check it out. And vote. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment as well at 1025 The Game on X, formerly known as Twitter. So be sure to check that out. We will put a bow on things and get you set up for Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase McCabe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, join 1025 The Game and Robbie and Rex Road. Broadcasting from 6 to 9 for two Duncan grand openings here in Middle Tennessee. Tomorrow they'll be out at 350 Highway 109 South in Lebanon. And Monday they'll be out at 206 Indian Lake Boulevard in Hendersonville. Come out for coffee, food, and great opportunities to win prizes. So check them out at Duncan starting tomorrow. So really looking forward to that. Go say hi to them. Hey, you know what else? I'm really excited about this. Nick Frazier, you have not experienced this yet. Silly Underdog Picks is coming back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Really looking forward to that coming back in our expert picks, because they're always entertaining, starting here in just a few weeks. Talking about the Titans and joint practice number two today. I know Kirk Cousins has been talking to the media. A texter, when we were talking about, you know, NWI being out, you know, as the number two receiver today, with Burks being out a few weeks with injury, somebody texted in and just said Roberson. I would not mind trying Reggie Roberson Jr. on the outside with the ones. I want to see it. Now, you know, again, he's an undrafted guy, but he's turned heads. And I said earlier in the week, before Burks got hurt, I need somebody to go up there and grab that brass ring, you know, grab the championship belt. Talking wrestling, that was here last night. Go up there and grab it. Be the guy. You know, prove yourself right. Prove to people that you can play in this league. I think they're going to try anything and everything, and I would certainly be fine with Roberson if they were to give him a shot. And by the way, some texters have asked me how I liked AEW last night. It was fun. Really enjoyed it at Bridgestone Arena. Jeff Jarrett in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match with Jeff Hardy. Jeff won that match. There were guitar shots, table shots. They were wrestling in the Lexus Lounge. They were underneath the arena, which was cool. Jeff getting the victory last night in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match in AEW, but I thought it was a good show. I think my favorite part was MJF and Adam Cole coming out and doing a promo. MJF is so good. He's so talented. Just so good on the mic, good in the ring. I'm really curious to see where his career goes as the AEW champion. But, I mean, I would suspect he's going to be in WWE at some point in time. But he's really, really good. There was a good match. I just blanked on the guy's name. Orange Cassidy and then Wheeler Muta opened the match for the international, or opened the event for the international championship. So that was a good one. So I had a good time for sure. But Titans today, again, I need the defense to put it back to back days, and I need the offense to do something. They got to step up. You know, the report from Jim Wyatt's observations yesterday that Derrick Henry didn't have a lot of room to run. That's concerning, because I wouldn't call, you know, the front seven for the Vikings the best in the league. But that's concerning. But the fact that, you know, the Titans picked off Cousins three times, I like that. Want to see more of that. Need to see more out of the offense. He said Will Levis didn't have a whole lot of opportunities. He was 4-for-4 in the 7-on-7 period, including a strike to receiver. You guessed it, Reggie Roberson Jr. Levis completed a short pass in a team period as well, but Tannehill and Willis led the ones and twos respectfully. I kind of feel like Malik Willis is going to start the year as a backup. I really do. He's played better. And like anybody saying that Levis was better than Willis in the first preseason game, I think you need your eyes checked. Go back and watch it. I don't think that. I think Malik Willis had the better game. And so, and it's not the end of the world. Everybody's going to freak out. Oh, you traded up. He's a 33rd overall pick. He's going to be the third quarterback on your depth chart. With the new rule, it doesn't matter. I mean, because the bottom line is, if either one of those guys, Willis or Levis, you know, Tannehill blows his knee out today, that's not good. Like, I don't trust either one of them. You know, you talk about trust. Whether it's Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill, yeah, I definitely don't trust Willis or Levis right now in this league. So, come on. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who's two. It doesn't matter who's three. As long as 17's healthy, that's what matters. That's what they need. He's got to stay healthy. And then you get Burks back in week, you know, really, ideally for week one. But I don't think that's going to happen. But it is interesting reading about like these other receivers, like Trayshawn Harrison, who Jared brought up. He stood out to me. Kyrus Jackson has stood out to me. Obviously, Reggie Roberson, who we've talked about. Kenzie's had a nice camp. I don't think there's room. Like, the thing I really hope for Mason Kinsey is he shows out in the next two preseason games, and then he ends up getting picked up by another team. Because I just don't think there's a spot for him, because he and Kyle Phillips are basically the same. I like him. He's fun to watch. But I don't think he's that guy. You know, Roberson's the one that I'm really starting to gravitate towards. And I have been. I mean, Chris Sanders and I, who will join the show tomorrow at 9:30, you know, we've talked about him quite a bit. But he's looking good, looking the part. So I'm curious today. And again, Jared will have a full breakdown at 2 o'clock, because he is there, how they line up this offense now that Burks is hurt. So who's lining up on the other side from DeAndre Hopkins? So that's where I'm at. Texter says, thank you for admitting Willis had a better performance last Saturday. People are about as delusional about that as they have been about Tannehill. And then another texter immediately says, Malik had two fumbles, a delay of game, and an interception in two quarters to play. Made more plays, but also more mistakes. I can argue, look, the interception that Levis had at the end of the game was flat out bad. That was a bad pick. Willis, yes, the ball was a little too high, but it hit Wiley in the hands. You got to make a catch. Whether it's high or not, make the catch. So I'm not going to put all of that on him. Was the ball high? Yes. Yes. But it still hit him in the hands. Make the catch. Or bat it down. Don't bat it up. So, not going to throw that all on him. The delay of game was bad. I do give him that. And then where were the two fumbles?
There was one, I think, at the beginning of the game with Chris Moore. He caught a pass for Malik Willis down the field, and then I think it ended up.
Yeah, but how is that Willis's fault?
I don't know.
Like, Chris Moore's got to hang on to the ball.
I guess because it happened in the same sequence with Malik Willis, possibly. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember Willis fumbling the ball, though.
Yeah. Maybe when he dropped back and he went to go scramble, maybe there was one. It was like.
Was there? I'm blanking.
There might have been. I have to double check and go look back.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I think Willis has had he's had a better camp, and I think he played better. Now, I'm curious of how they're going to split the reps. Because, I mean, yesterday, if Levis didn't get a lot of opportunities, I mean, that's interesting to me. And you know, clearly they're wanting Tannehill to get the most of these because he's probably not going to play on Saturday against the Vikings. So, you know, you could once again split the reps between Willis and Levis. You know, maybe they'll start Levis this time. I wouldn't. But
I would start Levis.
This has hit a nerve with people. I don't trust Malik as a quarterback. I still see issues. Okay. Well, there are issues. He says Moore didn't fumble. Yeah, I mean, I know he was ruled down, but he's got to hang on to the ball.
Right.
There were some concerns
there. The referees.
There was a strip sack. That's right. There was a strip sack. Thank you. Lance wants to know, is Colton Dowell completely out of the picture? I don't think so.
No.
I wouldn't say he is. I'd have Roberson ahead of him right now.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
I mean, all things considered, I would have, like, McMath to me is out. I have McMath out. I have
Kinsey out.
I have Kinsey out. I have Dowell out barely. I have him as like the seventh receiver.
Yeah.
So he could potentially make the team because depending on Burks and where he's at. And people are saying, like Caleb said, Moore was ruled down, has nothing to do with Willis. Yeah, I agree. There were a couple of strip sacks. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
Ball control, taking care of the football, that's important. And Malik has to do that. But if you're asking me, if we're having the conversation of who do I think has been better in the overall body of work in camp, Malik Willis or Will Levis, I'm going to say Malik Willis.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
He's shown it. I mean, yeah, maybe not on national television. It didn't look great. But people have to remember that, you know, earlier in the week, Mike Vrabel said this team needs to be in game condition. They're not in game condition yet.
Yeah.
And so now with this joint practice with Minnesota, I believe that's where they're ramping it up. That's where they're ramping up into game condition. And once you see them go out on the field this week, you're probably going to see a night and day difference.
Yep.
I wouldn't go too far night and day, but night and dusk difference. There
one,
we go.
That's good. One texter says start Levis this preseason to give a fair share. The other says I would not start Levis this weekend. Look, it's not about what's fair and all that. It's about performance. So go with the best one. That's what I need to see. That's going to do it for us. But Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are coming up next. D-Mace with the day off, but Caroline and Willie will have more discussion about Treylon Burks, what that means. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel. We'll be back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow. And also, Jared will have a full breakdown today at 2 o'clock after practice. Stick around. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, that's next.